T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning and welcome to 95.7 The Game, where alongside Lorenzo Neal and Dan Dibley, I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. Big hour in store for you. We kick it off with $1,000 to give away. Raider head coach Jack Del Rio at 8:15. And we'll react to that with your phone calls and more at 8:30. Plus, tickets to give away at 8:45. There is a lot to get to in this hour. We want to get right back into the Kyrie Irving, LeBron James discussion before a visit with JDR in 13 minutes. But here's what we're going to do first. Give away $1,000. Text the code word SQUARE to 72881. SQUARE, as in all the people betting on Conor McGregor, are SQUARE. 72881. Message and data rates apply. $35,000. Guy walks into the South Point yesterday and bets $35,000 on a Conor McGregor knockout. That's how places like the South Point get built, people. $35,000 bets on guys who don't box and happen to be fighting the greatest boxer of all time. Seems reasonable.
Should have got down much earlier, too. You could have got much better odds. When that thing opened at, what, plus 1,000? 10-1 odds, I think? And now it's down to 6-1?
You could give me $1,000,000 to 1, and I wouldn't put a dollar on it. It's a wasted dollar. Even if you give me 100 pennies that you find in the car, I'm not taking those 100 pennies and putting him on McGregor at $1,000,000 to 1. That's how much of a lock this fight is. You look for locks. Everyone wants a copy of Gray's Sports Almanac from Back to the Future 2 so they can see the future. This is the future. We're telling you it right now. Floyd Mayweather wins this fight. Yet you got buffoons walking in there. I really like Conor. He really got in Floyd's head at that press conference. Weren't those two traveling around the world on the same private jet? It's all a ruse, people. Wake up. All right. So the $1,000 is given away. JDR in 11 minutes. Your calls on Kyrie and LeBron next. 888-957-9570. But first, here's Dibs with your update.
Well, the news broke yesterday, Joe, that Derrick Rose has committed to the Cavs. According to The Vertical, the former Bull and Knick point guard, Derrick Rose, has committed to play a one-year deal worth $2.1 million. This all amid rumors that Kyrie Irving wants out of Cleveland. More on that here on 95.7 The Game. Story number two. Tough times for the Giants as they get cuffed around by Pittsburgh.
And that's hit well to left. And gone. And on the 3-2 pitch, it's the second three-run home run in the game.
Dwayne Kuiper, NBC Sports, Bay Area with the call, 10-3. The final, Madison Bumgarner gets the start today. His third start since recovering from the dirt bike accident back in April. Story number three, A's lose to Toronto 4-3. Bob Melvin stuck on 999 career victories. He'll try again this afternoon. Sonny Gray gets the start against Cesar Valdez. 3:15 dugout show, 4:07 first pitch here on 95.7 The Game. The update brought to you by Bail Arm. With Bail Arm, you're protected 24/7 by the local security experts. Go to bailarm.com to schedule your free security review. Bail Arm, what have you got to lose? I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the NBA champion Golden State Warriors, 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Dibs. LeBron James is going to be 33 years old in December. He will not win the championship next year. You lose Kyrie Irving, you can't beat the Warriors, right? I think that's a safe assessment because we've seen this before. It was three finals ago. Kyrie went down, the Warriors won the series. Warriors got better with Durant. You just lost to him in five. Kyrie's going to depart. You're not going to beat him. So you will be 34 years old the season after next. 34 years old, and you'll probably be top 10 at that point in minutes played per game in NBA history. How are you ever going to win another title? Think about this for the moment, because he and Kyrie are having this beef. Irving wants out. James is talking about how he wants to beat his ass if he was right in front of him, according to Stephen A. Smith. How is LeBron James ever going to win another title? Who is he going to be able to pair up with at 34 years of age, top 10, top 15 in minutes played, and win another title against the Warriors or anyone else for that matter? You may have seen the last of him in the finals if he goes west. What's the run he's currently on? How many appearances in the NBA Finals?
Seven straight, I believe.
Seven straight. Does he ever get back? If he stays in Cleveland this year, you two both said yesterday, with no Kyrie, you feel they're not going to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals. I agree. I think they're ripe for the picking. So what happens after that? He goes to L.A. with the Lakers? How does he ever get back to the finals?
I think the only way that he gets back to the finals is if next year that KD opts out of here and he comes here to the Warriors. If KD leaves after the year, he signed another one-year deal, and decides to take his talent elsewhere, and LeBron slides in here. That'd be the only way. You ask the only way how he gets back to the finals? That's it.
Any likelihood of that, in your opinion?
Probably slim to none, and none's probably left to build him. But you asked, how does it happen?
I did.
That's it, in my opinion. And I think another place that he might have a chance, another place to get a chance, if he goes to San Antonio. You put him there, and we don't know what's going to happen. If we don't know what, if poor Paul George is going to actually decide if they can get one more superstar, get maybe another great point guard, put a point guard with LeBron and the guy that they already have there, Kawhi Leonard, with a good point guard, and you get another big man. You look at them; they'll have a chance.
Dibs, when all this is said and done, where do you see Kyrie Irving landing? Apparently, the phone calls have been fast and furious, and the Cavs feel that they are in for a bounty. For a young player in Kyrie Irving who's got 2 years of control left.
I think it's Boston when all gets shaken out. And it was nice of him to give the team his four preferred teams. But bottom line is, he's not one of the three players in the NBA with a no-trade clause. So he'll go where he's sent if Cleveland wants to trade him. Boston has the bounty of picks. We all know about the draft picks they have upcoming. Plus, they've got a point guard, Isaiah Thomas, who's going to want huge money at the end of this year, and I don't see Boston giving it to him. So now's the time for Boston to strike. You package Isaiah Thomas, maybe another one of your younger players, Jay Crowder perhaps, and one of your bounty of picks. They got picks in 2019. I even think they have a draft choice in 2020. Send those three to Cleveland. You take Kyrie Irving back and whatever contract you need to make it work, and you give Kyrie a fresh start.
I'm with you. If I'm LeBron, if this is real, you send him to Boston, you definitely get Isaiah, because Isaiah can dribble. He can do a lot of things. He's nowhere near Kyrie. We get that. But he still can penetrate and kick the ball and do certain things. So you lost. You step down a step or two, but you still have a guy that can dribble well and still do a lot of things. And now all of a sudden you say, no, and I want more than that. I still want two first round. I still want your future picks. And I would take that as well. So I think Cleveland has a chance right now, Joe, even if LeBron's going to be out after the year, to get a good ransom for Kyrie. And when you say, now if that does happen, if you have Rose, a backup point, and then you bring in the little man, a little Isaiah, now we're talking turkey again, because now you can see that this team, with that type of overhaul, if they get those three players you're saying and a draft choice, and with the Rose, if he can stay healthy, you got to still say they would be the favorite if you bring in a point guard like that.
Why would Cleveland trade Kyrie Irving to Boston? Why would you go ahead, the team that was the number one seed last year, the team that you met in the conference finals, the team that you've been hearing about for a few years now, has been just stashing draft picks and making moves, biding their time, waiting for the opportunity to usurp you in the Eastern Conference? Why would you help their cause while simultaneously hurting your own? There's no trade Cleveland can make in this scenario where they win against the Boston Celtics. If Kyrie Irving ends up in Boston and you take on Isaiah Thomas and whatever else you get, Boston is now head and shoulders the favorite in the Eastern Conference. That's what it is. You still have LeBron, but what else you got? You got Love? Please. Love will go missing for three games in the Eastern Conference Finals. Why would you make that deal? You know LeBron's going to be gone in a year. Why would you go ahead and set Boston up? All this time, Boston's been trying to get ahead of you. Why would you trade with Boston? You saw Indiana move Paul George to the Western Conference. Everyone was so befuddled. Oklahoma City, I didn't even realize they were in the mix. They don't want to face Paul George. Indiana didn't want to have to deal with that. You see this time and time again. Why do you think the Manning brothers went out of their way to always make sure they would never have to face each other in a conference championship? When Peyton was up, and left Indianapolis. Sure, he met with the Niners for 5 minutes, but the Manning family was never going to have him go to the NFC because they didn't want the brothers to face each other on the way to the Super Bowl. One of them definitely couldn't end up in the biggest game on the planet. That's the situation you're seeing here. If you're the Cavs, take less to move Irving to the Western Conference. Why would you go ahead and help Cleveland out with that trade?
But it depends on what they're getting, though. Because if Boston's got a first-round pick, I think they do, Dibs.
They got three next year.
If I can get two of those for Kyrie, I'm doing it tomorrow. Because get two of those first-round picks. You understand that you're going to get something for him. So you need to build anyway. You're one of the highest teams with the luxury tax. So you're saying, okay, I'm going to lose him. Let me make sure I got the right scouting department in here. Let me go get two of their three first-round picks. Now I still have LeBron this year. Now I go bring in little Isaiah for this year. And I'm still with it when and you're now LeBron's incentivized. He's going to still leave. You know that. But you said it's about still competing and making, give the fans something for one last year. You can't tell. I just think that even with Kyrie there in Boston, if they brought in Isaiah and brought in a couple other players – with LeBron, I would still say they're favored.
What are those two picks going to do for you? They're not going to do anything in LeBron's last year. This is LeBron's last year.
Right.
So you're going to get two picks. As an organization, what are you going to do with those two picks? Find the next Anthony Bennett? You remember that pick? You can't trust these guys to get that pick, right? The owner makes the pick. He fires GMs left and right. They took Anthony Bennett out of UNLV. I was living in Vegas when that happened. Everyone loved Anthony Bennett. No one agreed with that pick. There wasn't a single homer in Las Vegas who said that was the right move.
Well, he would have to get out of the way and let his scouting.
What makes you think he's going to do that, though? Now you see my point. Gilbert's not getting out of the way. Gilbert sends his son to handle the lottery. He's not going to let the GM make the pick. He makes the pick, i.e. Anthony Bennett. So great, you just traded Kyrie Irving to the Celtics in exchange for two picks that there's a good chance you blow, right? There's a good chance you blow them. So then what are you at? You trade him out of the conference. You can't. You take less to trade him out of the conference. You can't have him come back to burn you because at the very least, you move him to the West, that's the Warriors' problem. That's the Rockets' problem. That's the Spurs' problem, the Wolves' problem. At the very least then, you took one of the better players in your conference. You moved him West. You gave LeBron a fighting chance to still take out the Celtics. You can't make a move with the Celtics that benefits you short-term or long-term.
But you have no chance after next year anyway, period.
Exactly.
You already called it. It's over,
That's why you should be trying to trade LeBron James, but he's not going to allow that.
No.
That's why you should be trying to move everyone. It's over for you as a franchise.
That's why you take whatever you can get, even if it means you have to bite the bullet and send him to Boston, because no one's got more draft choices in the league over the next 3 years than Boston. They're getting Brooklyn's pick next year. They get the Lakers pick if it's 2 through 5. They got all kinds of picks coming in, so Boston's going to have more to give you. And if you're Cleveland right now, you don't want to get nothing for LeBron and Kyrie, so you take what you can get, especially knowing that they want to move on from Isaiah Thomas. You can, quote, win the trade and get maximum value for Kyrie from Boston, more than you'll get from anyone else.
Yeah, but we said the same thing about Paul George in Indiana. You got to move him now to get maximum return. What did they get? Oladipo?
They didn't get anything.
We said the same thing about Boogie Cousins. Well, the Kings got to get a lot back in return. What did they get? They were viewed as losers, too. These guys, they're not getting huge returns on the investments. Once the player makes it known that he's not going to play for you, that he wants to be traded, you just got to move him. You're not going to get even money on the deal. You're going to lose. So do you want to lose by strengthening Boston and making it harder for LeBron in his final year with the franchise to get to the finals? Or do you move him west, take pennies on the dollar, and give yourself this one last fleeting chance? Why not pick up the phone and call New Orleans? Right? Could LeBron work with Boogie? Could he work with the Unibrow? Is there anything you could do with New Orleans to get something going? New Orleans is desperate. They'll make any move. They sign Rajon Rondo. They make these trades. They're all over the place. That's a sinking ship. Call them. See if you can fleece them for something. They might take Kyrie Irving. Hell, they only gave Rondo, what, $2, $3 million? You can just easily replace him. He can come off the bench.
Right.
That's what he wants to do anyway.
Yeah, Kyrie would fit great with those two big guys because of the fact he could penetrate and just dish and give those guys, easy alley hoops. That could be a good fit for him in New Orleans.
100 in Oakland. Thank you for calling the program. 100, go ahead.
What's up, fellas? Good morning to y'all, man. How y'all boys doing?
Pretty good. How's everything with you today?
I'm all right. I can't complain. Hey, I got to go on a real quick, smooth rant real quick. Check me out. Y'all heard me before, but keep it 100. Everybody says Kyrie wasn't winning until LeBron got there. Kyrie was, a teenager when he got into the league? Come on, he had to grow up. You know what I'm saying? LeBron, and y'all know LeBron is LeChoke, without Kyrie being his savior all the time. Y'all seen it like I seen it. If Kyrie doesn't hit that shot, LeBron chokes the game away again. Also, when it comes to LeBron always trying to be the puppet master, Kyrie caught on to him early. He like, hold on. You didn't even stay down with D-Wade. You think you're going to just leave me here with this little trash team you put together? No, bro, no. I'm going to go. I'm not going to be your little homie and just let you play me along. I got to go. So Kyrie called his bluff. He said, oh, yeah, LeBron, you ain't going to be committed? I'm going to pull your card. I'm going to do it before you leave on me.
Keep it 100. Keep it 100, baby.
Y'all, like you said, why not trade him to Boston? Kyrie already told you, I ain't playing with you no more, homie. So Boston don't want to be over there, don't want to have Isaiah. That's the switch. They got all these draft picks. Now, we're going to give y'all all of these picks in Isaiah to get Kyrie. And what that is, y'all weren't going to beat them anyway. Boston already called your bluff. LeBron, you ain't got nothing but a whole bunch of your old homeboys. So it's time. You're going to call D-Wade, call Melo, and say, what's up? Kyrie gone. Y'all want to come back in Cleveland and try it again? Or are they going to go do a reunion in Miami or something? You know what I'm saying? But this is what 100. I'm going to keep it 100. You understand me?
Keep it 100, 100.
It's a great phone call.
Thanks for the call, 100. And thank you for always keeping it 100. Of course.
I love that. Again, though, why would Boston make that move? Kyrie's got 2 years left on the deal, right? At the trade deadline, Jimmy Butler had 2 years left. They weren't willing to give that up for Jimmy Butler. Now suddenly they're going to do it for Kyrie Irving? That's a point guard. That ain't Jimmy Butler. That's a point guard. Why would they suddenly want to give up Isaiah Thomas and 2 first-round picks and Jay Crowder for Kyrie Irving when they weren't even close to doing that for Jimmy Butler? Same amount of time left on each deal.
I think the fit's a little bit better from an offensive standpoint. You can definitely build your offense around Kyrie. I think Butler, obviously, a better defensive player. If you're Boston, you look at this window, you see everything collapsing around Cleveland, and you think this is our best chance right now to go for it. You know Isaiah Thomas most likely going to be gone at the end of the year, so you roll the dice with Kyrie. You hope you can get something done long-term. He and Gordon Hayward, maybe they get along great. You still have Horford there. You have enough veterans to where you would be the favorites in the Eastern Conference.
Have we ever seen anything like this? The two teams at the top of a conference in any sport make a deal like this? Has it ever happened? Football, understandably, they don't make a lot of trades. But has this ever happened? Hoops, baseball, hockey? Have the top two teams, have the Penguins and the Capitals ever made a huge move in the offseason?
Yeah, I'm not remembering any deal of this magnitude where you have a top 10 player who'd be on the move.
Like, are the Cubs and Dodgers going to make a big deal in the offseason? You don't see things like this all that often. Dave in Palo Alto, your thoughts on Kyrie Irving. Dave, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, I think with this whole Kyrie situation, it's really complex at this point of the juncture in the NBA season. You got the free agency's done, the draft is over, so it's really limited where Kyrie can go. Because you got to remember, the Cavs are over the cap limit. So if he is traded, the person or people coming back have to match Kyrie's contract. And then he wants to go somewhere. He's the man. But, you know, in this whole situation, the Cavs got to do what's right for LeBron, too, because LeBron's going to approve of this trade. He's not going to trade Kyrie for draft picks because that's not going to help him this year. Well, I think it's a good situation. It's Kyrie going to Phoenix, take back Eric Bledsoe and Devin Booker. You get some young athletic wing players, and Kyrie can go to the Western Conference. He's out of the East, and he has his own team that's on the upcoming. Because, I mean, he wants to go somewhere he's a man, but if you look around, all the teams kind of have their man. Like, the Kings drafted their man at number 5. All the teams have their man. The Sixers have Joel Embiid. They all have their man, their guy. So, Kyrie, you're looking to be the man. I don't see too many spots for him to go.
It's a great point. Great point. Thank you, Dave. Transitioning now, very happy to welcome in the head coach of your Oakland Raiders, Jack Del Rio, with Joe, Low, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Coach Del Rio, thank you for your time this morning. Camp's underway, but how'd your summer treat you?
Everything's good. Good morning, everybody. It was a good, restful time, and now energized, ready to roll. Looking forward to it.
So as you bring the rookies into camp, it's a year with a lot of expectations. You've got your franchise quarterback under contract, beast mode on the roster as well. What's going to be the opening message to the team when you get them all together later in the week?
Well, I think the biggest thing for us is to recognize, hype or discussions or expectations or preseason ranks or whether or not we're going somewhere else in 3 years or those kinds of things are all, it's all noise, and it all has very little to do with who we are and what we're about. I think our focus will be on understanding what our standard is and understanding what the processes are that we must go through to become a really good football team. And so that's going to be the message. Let's get to work.
Coach, I couldn't agree with you more. And Coach, talk about that, just that process. What is the biggest difference from being a position coach, which you had to go through, from a coordinator to a head coach in keeping everyone together?
Yeah, I think you know, it's when you're a position coach, you're just concentrating on your guys, and it's really, you know, how does it affect my group? When you become a coordinator, you're working with your side of the ball, then it becomes more about just that, you know, how do I take care of my side of the ball? You know, when you're a head coach, it's everybody, you know, it's everything, it's everyone, and it's having everybody really understand that, you know, the things that are really great that you want to accomplish in this league come when people understand what it is to sacrifice for each other, and that there's something, you know, greater than yourself out there. And so when you understand that concept of doing what's best for us and doing what's best for the team, and then you're the best individual you can be, you know, doing your role on that team, then you can do great things.
Coach, Gary and Conley and Obi Melifonwu yet to be signed, and with the rookies already reporting, are they starting to get to the point where they're going to fall behind, or is it really not until next week when the heavy work starts getting put in that they'll need to be in place?
Well, you know, the rules and the structure are such that it's not a great concern now in our league. I think these issues will get resolved shortly, and they'll join the team. So, you know, it's one of those situations. Years ago, you know, when Lowe and I were out there, those were issues. I mean, those were real issues. Holdouts were, you know, could last the whole camp into the season, all that kind of stuff. The structure is in place now. We expect these things to get resolved shortly, and they'll be in getting their work in.
Head coach Jack Del Rio with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. So as it pertains to Gary and Conley and his situation, the organization is confident that he will be in camp sometime in the very near future?
Yeah, really nothing's changed from the way we feel about it. And we understand there's a process underway. And, you know, when they finish that process, you know, we feel confident about the decision we made and the person that we have.
Coach, you know, back in our day, 9-on-7, didn't matter. Every day, in pads. Now the game has changed. And you see everyone talks about the Raiders, and you understand that as the head man. People, what's the perception versus reality? Reality is, hey, the defensive line kind of struggled. Not necessarily was one of the worst teams. Gave up over 60 plays with 20 yards or more. When you're looking at that and you say, everyone was still saying, hey, the Raiders supposed to be in a Super Bowl. How do you let guys and the team and coaches and your staff know perception versus reality, and you're never as good as everyone think you are, and you're never not as bad as everyone think you are?
Yeah, I think the way we look at it, we acknowledge, look, we know we've got a good team. We know we can play with anybody. We know we're good in all three phases. And, you know, the how you rank on last year's stats and how that projects going forward is more for fantasy leagues than it is for what we're doing. So, you know, we're busy at work. We've got a good group of guys. We've added to it. Obviously, there have been some subtractions like there are every year. There's some additions, some subtractions. You change the team a little bit. But we feel like we've strengthened ourselves coming out of the offseason, and we're excited about getting started. And in all three phases, have a lot of work to do for us to become the kind of team that we are going to become.
One of the new players, obviously, Marshawn Lynch. Do you envision it to be somewhat of a committee at running back, or is he coming in with the idea of he'll be the featured back and maybe looking to get 200-plus carries this year?
Well, you know, we'll see how many carries and what the plan is. You know, for me, we just love having been able to add a guy like Marshawn that has such great passion for our franchise. He's obviously a big physical runner. And runs with attitude. And so, you know, we know it can help our power game. But the biggest thing is we added a good player. We're going to, like we do with all our players, we, you know, have him come in, be a good teammate. You know, we'll let him express himself. You know, we'll determine a role based on what we think is best for us as a team. And we'll ask him to embrace that. And then we'll go. And, you know, we're not going to sit here and worry about, I mean, I know it's probably for your listeners important for like fantasy projections and things, but we're just not going to get into that kind of stuff. But we're certainly glad to have him.
Coach, do you enjoy following Marquette King on social media as much as we do?
You know what? I love that young man. As long as he leaves the flags alone and doesn't throw the flag at the referee and just does his thing on the field, he has a lot of fun off the field with the social media and everything, and I'm all for it.
Coach, you know everybody's a little different. Marquette King, he walks by his own drum. I tell you, we love him. But
he did tell us you gave him a stern talking to after that flag incident.
Yeah. He heard a little bit from me and Coach Seeley.
Oh, no question. Rightfully so. I mean, Jim Moore, he would talk to you. You'd all be shaking in your boots. Another guy, a disciple of Jim Moore, and this guy that I've been around, I think you could attest to this. Pagano, you know, what is he bringing? You feel about, you know, what is he going to help with the defense and just the structure? Kind of what is his role and what are you expecting from him?
Yeah, John's a great addition to the staff. He's a good people person. He's a very, very good communicator. He's got a lot of knowledge. To have John come in and work with us and the defensive staff throughout the offseason was I think, very beneficial. You know, John's an assistant head coach with the defense. What he will do is basically he'll be over the top of the secondary, having an extra set of eyes, being able to provide input to Kenny and I. And, you know, he's just an asset, just a good, strong coach that has a lot of experience. We'll bring ideas to our third down packages in our red zone. But the biggest thing is that he is going to make sure the back end is communicating and functioning properly.
One camp battle that many fans are going to have their eye on is middle linebacker. I know you can't obviously say who the front runner is, but what type of player are you looking at for that critical spot on defense?
Well, look, we've got some young guys that are excited about the opportunity to compete there. You know, I think that we'll just let them compete and let it work itself out. You know, we drafted a young man, Markell. And we got a couple guys returning like Corey James, and so you know, look, we'll just let them compete. We'll see where it goes. I feel like when I look at us as a football team, you know, I think we've strengthened ourselves and really fortified ourselves in many, many positions, and maybe haven't been able to go get that, you know, early round pick at that position yet, or that obvious stud from another team in terms of a veteran or anything, but we've got some young guys that can run and they're determined to learn and to apply themselves, and we're going to let them compete and we're going to grow there. And that's, you know, you got a couple ways to address it. You can draft high, you can get a free agent high and pay a lot of money, or you can develop a guy. And right now we're looking to develop a guy, and we'll, you know, continue to monitor what's out there as well. But that's how we're going to address it as we sit here today.
Coach Del Rio, how's everything going with Carl Joseph? The rookie battled some injuries last season, but how's he looking right now in terms of health and his expected role for the upcoming year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we drafted him. We think he's a dynamic football player, an impact kind of player. And you know, he had a little bit of a knee that he had to work through last year. You know, when we came out, we knew that he was going to be take a little bit of time to get back to full strength. I think as he went through last year, got some experience, got to play a little bit, did some good things, did some things he'll do better, take that experience, had a really strong offseason, you know, really good communicating, really good in working hard. And I just feel like he's poised to have a real big year. So, you know, again, it's all set there. And now we're just going to go out there and compete.
Coach, you've played for some great teams. You coached some great teams. You've been around this league. And, you know, everyone talks about how it's a quarterback-driven league. Your trigger man is signed. And now the clock starts. And, you know, every year there's free agents and people are going to be trying to pluck your guys. How do you deal with that? How do you know, understand that football goes in fads? And once you're hot and then it's going to be years where you're down. Is that window now, guys understand how just the dynamics of the game and how do you keep them, you know, focused on the task at hand?
Well, there's no question. We're really, really pleased to have Derek signed, and know that we've got the premium position or the premier position signed up, and we have a real capable guy there, great leader, great young man, talented, tough, all the things you're looking for. So we're super happy to have that done, and also getting a guy like, you know, Gabe Jackson done. You know, having Gabe done and know that we've fortified that front line, you know, that's going to protect Derek and open holes for Marshawn. You know, those are important things. So, you know, for us, I know for Derek, he's a young player, but we want to attack each year, you know, like you don't know that you have, you know, 15 more. We don't want to wait till we're
sure.
You know, Tom Brady's going to turn 40 here soon, and you know, he's racked up a lot of titles along the way. So, you know, for us, you know, for Derek, we just want to go get that first one. And you know, the biggest thing is just to improve as a football team, be ready to go compete, you know, embrace our standards, embrace our processes, and let's go to work. And that's, you know, when you have that position and you know you can check that box, that's a great place to start.
Oakland Raiders head coach Jack Del Rio with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Coach, we know you're a busy man. Thank you very much for your time this morning. We greatly appreciate it. Best of luck in camp, and hopefully we can do it again sometime soon.
Yeah, well, we'll do it when you guys get up here. You know, you guys will be up here soon. We got the rookies that are going this week, and then we'll have the veterans reporting on Friday. So looking forward to seeing you guys up here.
Sounds great, Coach. Thank you very much again. Good luck this week.
All right, take care.
We will react to the Gary and Conley comments and more next. We'll take your phone calls as well. 888-957-9570, Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Big thanks to Oakland Raiders head coach Jack Del Rio for joining us in the last segment. Plenty to dissect from that conversation. If you missed it, you can go to the website, 957thegame.com, and you can check out the podcast version, which is also available on iTunes. The number one topic I think most Raider fans are concerned about at this point is the Gary and Conley situation. Here's what the head coach had to say about Gary and Conley.
Yeah, really nothing's changed from the way we feel about it, and we understand there's a process underway, and you know, when they finish that process, you know, we feel confident about you know, the decision we made and the person that we have.
Okay, so Lo, take me through that. As you try to dissect head coach Jack Del Rio's comments about Gary and Conley, do you feel better about the Conley situation? Do you feel worse? Do you feel like you got anything out of it?
I don't know. I think Joe, he's saying what everyone's been saying. They're going to trust the process. I think you feel better. He didn't hear any like, hey, we don't know. No, he said, hey, trust the process. I think that anytime you're dealing with those type of allegations, Joe, you understand the world we live in. They're pretty, they're, you know, it's a tough situation. So you got to realize the courts, DA, players, coach, everyone, they want to make sure they get this right. This is someone's life, and you know, you would hope that this guy would not make those type of decisions. So I really believe that they feel strong about this guy, and they said, you'll see the kind of man that we drafted, the kind of individual that he is that can help our team. So I do feel a little bit more comfortable about it, thinking that it is going to pass and it's going to side on for the behalf of the Raiders on their for their side. But it's still a situation that is not solved yet. So we got to trust the process, like he's saying. But I really believe that Jack feels confident that Conley's going to be okay.
Dibs, what did you take away the most from the interview with Jack Del Rio?
That everything should work itself out, and that if he doesn't come in, or Obi Mulafanua for that point, if neither one of them comes in until early next week, that they haven't missed out on anything. Right now it's like orientation week in high school. You'd like to go to it and get familiar with where your locker is and where the 201 building is. But ultimately, if you show up on the first day, you haven't missed that much. So it's taken my cause for concern alarm-ometer, and it's brought it down a little bit.
888-957-9570. Raider Nation, we want to hear from you. Expectations for this season. You just heard from the head coach, Jack Del Rio. We want your take on expectations and biggest concerns for this season. Your calls plus tickets to give away next. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
For those who have been hanging with us for quite a while today, you've noticed the WWE intro music theme. That's in honor of the beef between LeBron James and Kyrie Irving.
It's great. I'm digging it, Joe. I'm not a big wrestling fan, but some of these tunes, I'm remembering the connection with the associated wrestler.
Well, that's key, because we're giving away tickets now, and it's going to be a WWE-centric question.
Look at you.
This is your chance to win a family four-pack of tickets to the Ellie Mae Classic at TPC Stonebray, beginning Monday, July 31st, and running until Sunday, August 6th. All winners qualify for a grand prize VIP experience, which includes four VIP passes, fully catered hospitality, and round-trip limo service to the event. Tickets and info available at LEMayClassic.com. And by the way, two-time MVP Steph Curry will be playing in this event. 888-957-9570. First one to answer the following question correctly. Who defeated Randy Macho Man Savage for the WWF Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania 3? 888-957-9570. Who defeated Randy Macho Man Savage for the WWF Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania 3? Arguably considered one of the greatest matches of all time. Do you do a good Macho Man?
Nah, it's about all I do. My Macho Man sounds too much like my Duff Man from The Simpsons. That's really good. That's really good. Oh, Duff Man.
Yeah. He was sweet. I liked the Macho Man.
Someone, you know how like you'll scroll through Facebook and you'll just get these random videos that are popping up on just whatever?
Right.
There was one that was just like, it was an interview with Hogan and Macho Man. I think it was Mean Gene Okerlund doing the interview. And the two of them were just going nuts. You know how overly dramatic they
were.
And it was like, try watching this video on acid. And obviously, I'm not going to try that. But I went back and watched the video, and they edited it so like there were swirls and like, you know, all these interesting effects. And you're listening to them, and it's like, oh, my God, if you were on heavy drugs watching WWE back in the day, like this would have really freaked you out, like the stuff they were saying, just the way they were acting. Like Macho Man always looked like he was ready to explode.
Ready to explode. All red and just has always got that voice. This is the Macho Man. When I get you, brother? And they're always, their veins coming out of their neck. I just love watching it.
Good God, man. 888-957-9570. We want to talk Raider football. Jack Del Rio joined us about 20 minutes ago. He talked about Gary and Conley, Marshawn Lynch, the future of the team. Sounded like a calm individual ready for training camp. He sounded exactly like what you would want from a head coach who's in control. We want to know your expectations for this season. We want to know your biggest concerns heading into this season, because this season is unlike any of the last 15 years. Expectations are that you will find yourself in the AFC Championship game. I think you have a lot of Raider fans who are going to be disappointed if this team can't get to the AFC Championship game. So what are the biggest concerns and obstacles to getting there? 888-957-9570. Paul in Redwood City, will begin with you. Paul in Redwood City, your expectations for this season? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
nice.
Little Macho Man shout out there. Love listening to you guys in the every morning on my commute. I think the expectation should be simple. Make the playoffs. You got to be in it to win it. I think if they can squeak in 10-6, just get into the playoffs and then get that one playoff win we've been hoping for the last few years. I think that's what really they got to focus on, just getting into the playoffs like a New York Giants team, squeak in there, make a run, come in hot, and give the fans what they want.
Appreciate the phone call, Paul. Thank you very much.
I like that.
Making the playoffs. Dibs, how do you stand?
10-6, Joe, is right where I am with this team. Brutal schedule. You have New England in Mexico. You only have 7 home games. I think 10-6 is reasonable. Get in the playoffs and win that first playoff game. That, to me, is where the bar is set. Then you go into the final 8. Certainly you want to make the conference championship, but I think 10-6 and winning a playoff game, that's a fair bar for this team.
Congratulations to Justin in San Jose on winning the tickets. The answer to the question, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. That's who challenged Randy the Macho Man Savage at WrestleMania 3 for the Intercontinental Championship. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Lo, outside of the Patriots, who's the biggest threat to the Raiders to get to the AFC Championship game?
Ooh, no, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
you look at the AFC and you think of, you always got to think of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Don't know if they're going to be that team this year. You look at the Houston Texans. I think the Houston Texans, the defense that they have, getting a young quarterback, that's going to be, I think, the question mark. But you don't have to go out and win, take over games. If they can manage games because of the defense is good enough, they're going to be a team that you're going to say is formidable. And I think another team, Joe, that I really believe that this is going to be that year again, and Joey Flacco. I think the Ravens are going to be a lot better this year. I'm not really sold on Pittsburgh with some of the things that are going on, and I like what they're doing. Over, of course, we like Tennessee. This AFC is going to be some new kids on the block. You know, New England's always going to be New England, but I think there's going to be some new kids on the block. I don't believe I'm willing to take a bet with you that no one in the AFC South, our division this year, was going to win more than 11 games.
It's You mean the West?
The West.
Okay.
The West. I think 10 or 11 is going to win it. I don't see any team winning 12 in this particular conference in the West. It's just too tough.
Houston's intriguing because they'll probably have the best defense in the AFC. The problem, however, is the same problem Houston's had since day one of their existence, the quarterback position.
Right.
If they can't get capable quarterback play, they're not going anywhere. Even with the league's best defense, even with one of the best all-time defenses, you still need a guy who can move the sticks, convert on third down, and protect the football. And I'm not sure they have that yet.
And he might get hot at the right time. And that's the thing. That's why I said I got to see what he does, this young quarterback. You've seen him with the stage being big in college, and you saw the way that he was able to play. But so now you got to look at this young Clemson quarterback and say, can he translate that college play to the NFL? And I think, Joe, they might struggle early, but once the playoffs and once the end of the season, he'll be hitting his stride because he's seen the defenses. So Houston could be a very formidable opponent because of the way they play defense. And now you have a quarterback that you got to what? Contain, because he can beat you with his legs as well.
You know me, love Deshaun Watson. It's just a lot to ask of a rookie.
It is.
A lot to ask of a rookie. You also mentioned Baltimore. The Joe Flacco contract was the end of that organization. I just can't see it. It's no disrespect to John Harbaugh. I think he's a phenomenal head coach. And I think eventually, when he and the Ravens part ways, and I think that could be happening sooner rather than later, he's going to land somewhere, and whoever gets him, it's going to be a gem.
Right.
He's going to deliver a winner. But that Joe Flacco contract killed that organization. They got their Super Bowl. They shouldn't have paid him. They should have let him go. I know that sounds insane, and coming off that Super Bowl run, there was nothing you could have done except pay him, but that has crippled your organization since.
I totally understand. But let's just stay in that particular conference. That think about what's there. Baltimore, Cincinnati, what do you know about Marvin?
I know that Marvin will not win a playoff game.
Okay, now we're talking about, look at Pittsburgh. You look at what they have. I understand Big Ben is still there. Don't necessarily soul on their coach. Seems like there's some discard there. Their defense, your best defensive player is 39, 37 years old. When you look at that team, I just don't know if Pittsburgh is now, they can score. I don't know if their defense is what it is. So I think that Baltimore is poised to at least, I think they're going to make some noise this year. Really
I think it's still Pittsburgh's division. And I'm just reading an item about Kenneth Dixon for Baltimore. He's got a meniscus tear, so he's going to undergo surgery. That hurts him. I think Flacco doesn't have quite the weapons in the passing game that they used to have. And that division is so bottom weak. We talk about top heavy. The opposite of that is bottom weak. Cincinnati's going to struggle, and Cleveland is still ferocious. So yeah. I think when you look at Pittsburgh and Baltimore, those matchups, I think Pittsburgh is still the better team than Baltimore, and so they'll control the division accordingly.
No one's talking about Miami. I thought you liked Miami last
year.
You thought Tannehan and Adam Gase. I thought you thought that was going to be a breakthrough.
No, I did. I love Gase. I think he's the answer. And Miami, I like Miami.
The answer was Allen Iverson. But Adam Gase is not the answer.
The guy that I don't like is Tannehan. Tannehan is a hung tooth.
He was a little bit better last year.
Put him in pressure situation. Put him in there and you see what he does.
No on Miami. Maybe they get in, but you don't see him making a lot of noise.
Until they get a quarterback. They do not have, let me tell you, that is not their quarterback of the future. They got some defense. They got some offensive weapons. They can do some things. He is not the answer.
Suspiciously absent from this conversation are the Chiefs, the Broncos, and the Chargers. No one at all has any threat of any of them as the team outside of New England that would be the biggest problem for the Raiders?
I think Lowe said it best, and he said it perfectly when he said that I don't think anyone in that division has more than 10 wins.
No.
And I think you're right. You may see three teams with 10 wins, and then the fourth team with 9. I think it's going to be that close.
Me too.
Last year, Kansas City went 6-0 against the division. They were the only team in football to go undefeated against their division. I don't think that happens this year in the AFC West. I think it's going to be 4-2 and 3-3 and 2-4 among all four teams. I think it's going to be very competitive, and 10 wins might win that division.
I think it might be two or three teams get sneak in. I mean, this is going to be very competitive. I really believe you look at Denver. Denver just didn't do enough at quarterback. I think that defense get beats up. You know, they keep them out on the field too long. Alex Smith's going to be looking over his shoulder the whole year. Yeah, they're still the team. I'm telling you, San Diego and the Raiders – not San Diego, L.A. rather, and the Raiders, to me, those two teams are really, really going to fight. And I think that San Diego got a lot better defensively. LA's got a lot better offensively and defensively. I'm going to keep saying same.
No, the Chiefs are taking on water. The Chiefs are taking on water. I wouldn't be surprised if they went like 6-10 this year. You've got a situation where at the draft, you just decide we're going to move up. We're going to take Patrick Mahomes. If you're Alex Smith, you're looking around like, what the hell is your deal?
Trade me.
He should be asking for a trade. And the Chiefs should be trading him. But they think they're still close enough, and they know Mahomes isn't ready because he's not. He comes from the Texas Tech system. He is nowhere near ready to play. So you've already created a situation that the first time Captain Checkdown checks down on 3rd and 8 for a 6-yard gain, the fans are going to be asking for Patrick Mahomes. So that's your number one problem. Number two, a month ago, you fire your general manager. Do you ever hear about that in New England or Seattle or Green Bay?
No.
Or any of the quality teams that compete year after year firing the GM a month before training camp? No. There's clearly a problem in the front office there. So you got a quarterback issue, because when you have two quarterbacks, you got no quarterbacks.
I agree.
You got a front office issue with the coaching staff, and now you got Tom Bahali taking to social media to call out Andy Reid and the team for the way they used him in last year's playoff loss to Pittsburgh. Take a listen to Andy Reid on his response to Tom Bahali.
Do I love the fact that he wants to play? Yeah, he's going to be 50 years old and probably still tweeting out those things that he wants to get in his plays. I love that about him. So will I talk to him when he gets here? Yeah, we don't want to do it through the media, the social media part of it and all that. And I mean, let's just talk about it. If you have a problem, let's talk about it.
Will you continue to ask yourself questions and then answer them? Yes, you probably will. Are you going to win the division this season? No, you probably aren't. This is a team that every time, has anyone noticed this? Every piece of news regarding the Chiefs over the last month has been something negative. Someone's getting fired. A controversy starting. Someone's upset about this. Someone's upset about that. They haven't even opened camp yet.
Pressure.
And they've already got all of these little issues bubbling to the surface. At some point, it's going to boil over. And they've got a 6-week stretch on that schedule that is an absolute backbreaker if they don't navigate the front end of it properly.
And isn't this the cycle of Andy Reid that we're used to seeing, where he goes to a new place, he does really well, they have high expectations, they fall just short, and then it starts to unravel? And I think now we're maybe at the beginning of the unraveling, because like you say, Joe, tough schedule, and if things go south on them early in the year and the fans start clamoring for the backup quarterback, it's going to be a complete show over there.
It's the exact same thing that happened in Philly. He came out of nowhere and drafted Kevin Cobb in the 2nd round. And all of a sudden, everyone was trying to figure out what was going on. Then there was the power play between him and Howie Roseman and Joe Banner. Banner got fired. Roseman took the power from Reed. The relationship was never the same. They brought in Vic. They got rid of McNabb. There was the T.O. thing. It was just one after another, and then it slowly fell apart. And then everyone realized it was time for a change. I'm not necessarily saying it's going to completely fall apart this year, but the Chiefs are not buttoned up. They are not buttoned up. That's a team that won the division and earned a bye last year. That ain't happening this season. They are not as big of a threat as they may seem. And that Thursday night, week 7 here at the Coliseum, is the bet of the year. The Raiders cover those 3 points. It's out there right now. Nobody wins in that spot. Nobody.
I agree with you, Joe. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to jump back on Pittsburgh real quick. I believe this is the last year for Tomlin. I believe that he's gone after this year. I don't think they're going to do as well. And I think they're going to move on. I don't think that they're going to be a top. They're going to play well. But I really believe the Raiders right now, and you look at San Diego, their window is closing. The Chargers, that is. I like to know it's L.A., but
until week 1.
Okay.
The text line has spoken. They don't want Dibs blowing the whistle until week 1.
Okay, week 1, Dibs, so you can't blow the whistle if I say Chargers. But anyway.
That's on me for calling it on you.
We're going to bounce for a minute. When we're back, we want to hear from you. 888-957-9570. Who's the biggest threat to the Raiders in the AFC outside of New England? Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.